First, senior citizens are especially vulnerable to financial exploitation as well as physical and emotional abuse. It's a problem that experts say is growing and remains vastly underreported. Last week, Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced the creation of an elder abuse task force. Schimmel said the group will provide more resources for investigating and prosecuting abuse and work to improve communication between caretakers, law enforcement, and advocacy groups.
Nino Amato is the president and CEO of the Coalition for Wisconsin Aging Groups. Nino, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, it's nice to be back at Central Time.
Well, how common a problem is elder abuse in Wisconsin?
It's growing, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. A lot of it has to do with the demographics of having 10,000 baby boomers retire every single day since January 1 of 2011. And because of the inequality in the economy combined with people still struggling, even though there's an unemployment rate, the jobs that used to be there are no longer there. And so people are working much lower paid jobs. And what we're seeing is roughly around 35,000 cases of elder abuse, financial elder abuse, are reported each year. And that is really underreported because 60% of the financial elder abuse is committed by family members. Hmm. So they're reluctant to call the police. They're reluctant to get a state agency involved. And we get involved because we're a nonprofit. And then we encourage them and triage them down the process. But that has increased. Identity fraud has increased, and as we found out this morning with Equifax, 134 million credit ratings of individuals in this country has been robbed, breached, and that represents about 57% of the adults. So now you have two additional items that are going to surge, which were already surging. One is identity fraud. The other one is imposter fraud. And, you know, I kind of chuckle because I never thought I could get caught in some of these schemes. And 7 years ago, somebody obviously had spyware. They went into my calendar and realized I was going to have a vacation in Nuevo Vallarta. And lo and behold, the day that I got down there, where I turned off my cell phone, a blast went out to all my friends saying, oh, I got robbed. We need money.
Oh, no.
And so on and so forth. Well, it happens more commonly among elder people by impostering their grandchildren, niece, nephew, and even to the point, too, where they impostor state agencies. So if you recall back in the Affordable Care Act, one of the ways to close the gap on compensation for people who have a lot of prescription drugs they have to pay for, there was going to be a rebate. And the moment that was announced in the Affordable Care Act, these imposters get on the phone and say they're from, you know, the federal government, or we're from Medicare, Medicaid, we need your Social Security so you can get your check. And people were handing that over. So
right. So a lot going on with financial fraud, identity theft, imposters. What about other aspects, maybe physical abuse, emotional abuse, other things like that to be aware of?
It is. And tragically, as the nation is undergoing a lot of fragmentation politically, a lot of stress for, I can go on for a long time of what that may mean, both politically as well as psychologically. The fact of the matter is people's anxiety levels and stress levels are up. Well, that impacts families in general. On elder abuse, where we're finding some of the abuse is coming from family members who feel they're entitled to their money or their inheritance, and they're verbally abusing their spouse, or don't realize, or even if they do, that elderly have rights. So, for instance, when one of my siblings wanted to take my mother's car away, and she hadn't had an accident, you know, she was really pushing her to do that. And I said, no, she has a right to keep it. Now, we need to approach it differently and convince her differently, but she has that right. In cases that we've dealt with where there's money involved versus whether you should drive or not, it is vicious. It really is. And we don't have many cases. Usually if they're physical, they don't come to us. They actually go directly to law enforcement.
So you mentioned that elder abuse is widely underreported and how that can be because it's within the family and that makes it more difficult. Are there things that need to be done, do you think, to empower seniors and inform seniors about what their rights are, like you were saying, and what they can do and encourage them to report?
Well, that's the name of our program, Financial Empowerment. And we have been traveling the state since 2003. We're going to have a even greater activity coming up in the fall and into all of next year in all 72 counties. We work closely with the they call aging disability resource centers, to really begin to bring people aware of how they can control their finances and what to expect, all the way down to people who may have a neighbor across the way, and they're living by themselves, and they are befriended by this, in this one case, an elderly gentleman, who gradually would take control of their finances, then realizing that they're being robbed, but afraid to do anything. And, you know, the fact that we're available to merely assist provides people the avenue to interject. So in this one case, the woman was afraid because she lived right next door to this fellow, and she was not emotionally involved, but financially involved. And he kind of indirectly threatened her, and we were able to get her to come into our office with him. He thought they were coming to get some advice about financial management. We separated them in two separate rooms, and then we were able to resolve it. And he was reported to the police, and he was maybe not convicted, but he definitely has a record now. And so, you know, those are the type of things.
We're talking with Nino Amato right now, president and CEO of the Coalition for Wisconsin Aging Groups. And, Nino, Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced last week the creation of an elder abuse task force. It's still taking shape. What was your reaction to that news, and what are you hoping to see from it?
I think it's good. There was a number of programs in the past, and it's like everything else. An issue begins to surface, and people move very quickly, but we haven't had another refocus. So I think what the Attorney General is doing is a good thing. I know in talking with the Aging Network, everybody welcomes it. And his office, quite frankly, has been very, very supportive in the work that we all do in identifying this. So I welcome it, and I'm glad it is going to occur. And the only thing I would advise is put a time frame on it with a substantial report and what can be done to improve the current situation here in Wisconsin.
Now, one thing the task force is doing is it's doing a lot of interagency and in different groups, bringing different voices in, so there's more communication across different entities in Wisconsin. There's justice and law enforcement and people like yourself who are working on that front. Is that important to keep people communicating about this?
Yes, because unfortunately they live in silos. And we actually formed a coalition about 3 years ago on identity fraud. And we had everyone from the post office to the Federal Trade Commission to begin to launch and do an education. And we set up a separate website. Now, that's just identity fraud. But on financial elder abuse, it's much more complicated. And it's difficult, again, for when you have 60% of the people committing crimes are family members and they don't want to report it, you have to have other coordination. So besides the interrelationship among agencies, both local, state, and federal, it's important that the nonprofit groups that are out there are doing the very same thing.
And, you know, as we wrap up here, we've been talking and hearing stories about elder abuse, financial and otherwise, here in Wisconsin and beyond. If someone is experiencing elder abuse themselves, or maybe they suspect that someone in their life that they care about is going through this, what can they do? Where do they go?
Yeah, I would tell them to call our 800 number at 488-2596. Ask for Attorney John Hendrick, who's been managing this program since 2003. He's done a brilliant job. We have staff on hand. We can advise people over the phone, in person. And we've actually, since it is a federal Department of Justice grant, we've asked for more leeway going into the next fiscal year that allows us to do a little more legal work into this field, not to take business away from others, but primarily it's very complicated that when you suspect there's elder abuse, there's an investigation period. And if we can get more engaged in that, we can do a lot of the work up front, which will expedite the situation. And I always encourage not just other family members who may be at odds, but neighbors and friends. If you suspect, if someone comes to you and says, oh, they're doing this, but please don't tell anyone, you can call us. Your identity is protected, and we will not interfere unless we think there's really cause. And then we approach it in such a way that in 9 out of 10 cases, they welcome it. It's like they feel relief, and you can just hear it in their voice. So, you know, the hardest part of this job, and I've been at it for 7 years, and the hardest part for John, who's been at it another 10 years, how can people look at themselves in the mirror when they get up in the morning and they do this stuff? It's just amazing. And let me just add one thing, too. Any insurance agent sells you an annuity for 30 years and you're 80 years old, there's a con game going on. And we've had situations where we have trained tellers in banks, a lot of the major banks and a lot of the community banks, where just a number of years ago, two young, very good salespeople selling insurance targeted this 86-year-old woman, found out she had $300,000 in a money market, convinced her to buy an annuity, not for her grandkids or her kids, but for herself, so they can get the upfront commission. Mm-hmm. But we had trained the bank where the money was. And so there was a law that was passed a number of years ago that allowed them at least 24 hours to contact the guardian or a designated person. And we were able to jump in, protect the bank's deposit, protect her money, and unfortunately it was unethical, but it wasn't illegal. And we want to do something about cutting that off early.
Great. Well, Nino, thank you so much for coming in and talking today.
Thank you.
That was Nino Amato, president and CEO of the Coalition for Wisconsin Aging Groups. He joined us to talk about elder abuse in the state. Attorney General Brad Schimmel launched a task force last week to combat the abuse that senior citizens can face.